Good afternoon. It is, what time is it? It's a little bit after 2 p.m. This is Theologicus. My name is Joseph Laufen. We're on a wild and crazy schedule, not quite in the evenings. I have to stream and record when I can. My house is a little bit different. These upcoming weeks, I have all my kids in home, so that's pretty rocking, and I want to be not set myself to a set schedule. The recording is more important than the live stream, in my opinion. But if you're joining me on Facebook, on Twitch, on YouTube, thanks for joining us. We're going to go right into it. Okay. I had a little bit of a scare right. I was like adjusting some of the settings for my Restream. Restream is a service that will take one stream from your computer and restream to three or more services. It's a free service. You'll see powered by Restream in some of my links. But I changed. So anyway, long story short, on my Twitch, doesn't matter to you, but I changed my Twitch name on that from The Study to Theologicus, theologic.us. And I changed that. I was like, oh, yeah, I have to change my chat room. I have to change all those things. And just as I was in the middle of changing all that, my internet started bonking out. What I think it was my wired connection, because I had to flip it over to wireless. Anyway, so this is not a premier internet service here, so hopefully you won't get any staggers or anything like that, but we're just going to go right through it. Okay, so and there was something else I was going to mention. That's like a freebie. You probably didn't need to know that. But anyway, it's always real scary because there's like so many moving parts here. Also, I have my daughter in the back, and you probably can't. She's on a tablet right now, and you probably can't hear it because, thankfully, this time around, this is my second stint with podcasting and all that stuff. And the first time I got a condenser mic, which, you know, like a Blue Yeti, tons of podcasting mics that sound really, really great. They're super great. However, if you have any type of background noise, you have something like roofers roofing, you have the AC going on, you have, I have a monitor hooked up to my, an audio monitor hooked up to my son's room, and like, it, all that stuff will be coming through the mic. But because I have a dynamic mic, all that gets blocked out, right? Because the field of recording, it's really, really small. It's just like right up against the mic. Now, the downside is that I have to literally eat the mic, and I have to have like a bunch of tools, like either software, up the gain, work on condenser and stuff like that, which I know what gain is. I just don't know what any of the other stuff is. Or you have to get like an audio interface. And I have a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 to help me master all that. So I'm very vague. It's times like this. 90% of the time, I have a very quiet home. 10% of the time, I don't have a quiet home. Very thankful for these mics. Okay, so enough tech talk, enough internet talk, enough mic talk. Let's just get right into it. Okay, today is Tuesday. We're going in doctrine. Doctrine, all that means is, what does the Bible teach? What is the Bible saying in this? I wouldn't even say about the subject, because systematic theology is, I remember one professor described it as, systematic theology is to see what the scriptures say about certain questions in the world. Who is God? What is God like? If you're going to say God is three in one, not three, what does that even mean? Who is the Father? Who is Son? And on, you know what I'm saying? What is justification? What is this? What is that? And these are questions that pop up in the world. I don't want to call that, I don't think doctrine is systematic theology. I think doctrine is, this is what the Bible teaches. If you read through the Bible's going to speak for itself, and it's going to say, thus saith the Lord. Okay, so in the light of that, I wanted to start off by walking through the Lord's Prayer. In other words, let's pray like Christ. Christ taught us how to pray. He taught all believers, believe and trust in me. And when you do so, you get to pray to the Father like I do. This is how I pray to him. You pray it like this. In the next, today's episode, we're going to talk about the holiness of God, or rather, in the line, hallowed be your name. So let me pray. Lord, you are holy. You are set apart. You are far from, far above all of our sins. You are far above all of our gods. And we yearn to worship you. We yearn to set our affections and desires and sights upon you. And we don't do that often, and we don't do that perfectly, but we do it in utter dependence on you. And God, so be with us, guide us. We love you so much. In your son's name I pray, amen. Okay, so here we go. And we're going to pray like this. Matthew 6:9. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. I love you guys so much. You can chill in bed if you want. You want to chill in bed? Yeah, chill with Ives. Don't turn it up too much because I'm recording right now. It's all right? Mr. PJ boy? All right, cool. All right, I'm going to be talking a lot. Is that okay? What are you playing, Bubba? Battlecats. Of course you are. All right. All right, so here we go. Back to the doctrine. Those are just my kids. Matthew 6:9. Therefore, you should pray like this. This is Jesus speaking to his believers. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Last week we talked about, yes, we do have access to God, and we have access to him as our Father in heaven. We are his children, we are his sons and daughters, and we get to go to him, not just like you are holy God, which he is, you are the righteous one, which he is, but we get to call out to him, you are our Father in heaven. Incredible, incredible. But now it gets, here's another instruction, another commandment. This is how we are to pray. We're going to pray like Christ. Christ teaches us to pray. He says, when we go to the Father, we're reminded he is holy. Hallowed be your name. Okay. We're just going to run through the points. This is what the Bible teaches about God is holy. And if he is holy, does that make us holy? Well, let's read about that. God is holy. Isaiah 6, starting in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. They each had six wings, two that covered their faces, and the two that covered their feet, and the two that they flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth." The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. To know that God in this moment right now is holy, but God is also forever holy. Revelation 4:8. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, eyes were full of eyes all around and within, and the day and night they never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Do you understand that we're not going to go into angelology, the study of angels, but to know that God has angels set aside to worship him and to call out to all living creatures, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." In Christ's interaction with the prophet Isaiah, and it was Jesus, because in John, Jesus says, when I encountered Isaiah and displayed my full glory, okay? There's those angels that in the moment were in the presence of Isaiah. In case he did not know what was going on. But when God shows up in his glory, you do know what's going on. But just as a reminder, there were angels with him to call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. His glory fills the whole earth." And by the sound of their singing, the whole foundation trembles. Okay? Now, we say all that. So what does that mean for his people? Well, that means we are set apart to him. Leviticus 20:26. "You are holy to me." This is God speaking to his people. Remember, the law of God did not make the people of God holy. It was God made his people holy. He redeems his people, then he gave his law. Okay? Always remember the order in that. "You are holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy and have set you apart from the nations to be mine." Now, we go on, and this is actually it's actually Deuteronomy. And you're like, okay, so the people of God, you have the nation of Israel. They must have did something right. There must have been something good. They must have done something like garner the attention of God. We know in Genesis 6, Noah, whereas God grieved over the creation of mankind because all men were continuously doing evil and evil from their hearts, right? Yeah, but what was Noah doing? Noah was part of that mankind. Noah did nothing that set himself apart from God. He only, except in his own sin. What did God do? He looked upon Noah. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. It was God who bestowed grace upon Noah. From that point, Noah was made righteous. Okay? And I don't want to be like holiness and righteousness and just and all that stuff. Those things are interchangeable because they have their own very unique definition. Holy is, in other words, is set apart. We see that time and time again in the Bible. The people of God are set apart by God because God is set apart from us. Do you get that? Just like in Leviticus 20:26, we interchange holiness with set apart. But where does the right? So we are like, okay, what's the difference between holiness and righteous? Righteous is, in other words, think about it this way, is to be right standing. Okay, not only does God set us apart from the nations because he is set apart from mankind, in doing so, he could have set us apart, but yet we would never be able to approach the presence of God. Yet, because of Christ, he has made his people right standing with himself so that his people could be in his presence forever. And where do we remember that from? That's Genesis 1 and 2. That was always God's intention. Let his people, he always wanted a relationship with his people. In the same vein, I would say it could not be exactly like this, but in the same vein, out of the same love within the triune God, like Son, Father, Son, and Spirit, they were in complete, perfect unity and community. And he just wanted his creation to dwell in his presence forever. Okay. Now, all that said, because God has redeemed us through the blood and work of Jesus Christ, we are made holy because he is holy. We are made holy because he is holy. Okay, so let's continue on in Isaiah 6, starting in verse 5. "Then I said..." This is Isaiah, upon realizing the glory of Christ before his eyes, he says, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of armies. Then one of the seraphim, one of the angels, flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth and said, 'Now this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is removed and your sin is atoned for.'" Isaiah believed the Lord his God and was counted to Isaiah as righteousness. We know this for a fact because it started with Adam, okay? And it started, it was declared of Abraham. Abraham's the father of faith. We believe like Abraham, we are too the sons of Abraham because we are the sons of God, okay? Now, we get to be holy because he is holy. 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. As obedient children, do not be conformed to desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you all also are to be holy in all your conduct. For as it is written, be holy because I am holy. And we are completely different from those who do not believe. 1 Peter 2:6, going on in 1 Peter. For it stands in Scripture, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and honored cornerstone. The one who believes in him will never be put to shame. So honor will come to you who believe, but for the unbelieving, the stone that the builders reject, this one has become the cornerstone, and a stumble to stone over, a rock to trip over. They stumble because they disobey the word. They were destined for this. And Peter continues, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that's where Peter is actually quoting Hosea in the same way in Romans 9. Paul will also quote the same passage in Hosea. You're not once not his people, now you are his people. You have not received mercy, now you have received mercy. This is God's holiness. We are made holy. The call to holiness is the good news to us. So 1 Peter, going back to 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 22. Since you have purified yourselves by your obedience to the truth, so that you have shown sincere brotherly love for each other from a pure heart, love one another constantly, because you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable. That's where Peter is quoting quoting Paul in Galatians 3. It's the imperishable seed of Abraham is not Isaac, but is Jesus Christ, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like a flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God, the Lord, endures forever. And this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you. We talk about the steadfast love of God for his people. But there, what is permanent, what is an attribute of God that does not waver, does not change, does not have to, where God has to give up a little of himself in order to accept some people, right? So we live in a day and age, and here's the thing about all of Christianity. Just study the history of Christianity. There has been called by the world to for us to compromise on the holiness of God. We can compromise on the holiness of God all the day long. But here's the truth. That just because we do it doesn't mean God actually did it, okay? So that means that when we go to reinterpret the scriptures or try to get the scriptures to say something that actually did not, but what the scriptures actually say is actually the word of God. Does that make any sense? That stands forever and ever. This is the word of the good news that was proclaimed to us. Here's the good news. It is not that we get to go walk into the scriptures and pick and choose what we want. We get to hold sell, edit, or just choose to ignore it. If you don't read your word, you don't know what your word says. So you can say, I don't think the word says that because it doesn't feel right. But did you actually read the word? Here's the truth. Where the word, where the law of God actually exposes the sin upon our hearts, and we feel shame, just like Adam and Eve, we feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel condemnation. What do we do for that? We run to Jesus Christ. This is the word of though this word is the gospel that was proclaimed to you and me. We get to take our sin and just run it to God. Just like, Jesus, this belongs to you. I believe and trust you. What that means is that my sin is yours. Is like you can see the world and the rest of everybody is going to disagree what is good and what is bad, or what is good or what is evil, or what is right standing with God, not right standing with God. You can just go and have those arguments in vain. Go ahead. See where it gets you. It's going to get you nowhere. But what's the gospel? Take your sin, run to Jesus, give it to him. He's going to give you his righteousness. Amen? My Father, here's my prayer today. And again, in this series, like if you don't know how to, I don't know how to pray, Joe. What do I do? Well, I'm giving you step by step by step by step. First, you got to believe. Remember, you got to believe. You got to trust in God, okay? That's before anything else. And you don't have to be like the rest of the world. You don't have to like pray out loud. You have to use a bunch of words. Use simple words. That's what Jesus did. He's the Son of God, who is God, who prayed to his Father. Use simple words. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. I love you. Thank you so much for saving me. Easy. Easy little bitty prayers. That's all you just use a little bit of word. That's a meme. That's an office meme. Use a few words instead of big words. Instead of big words, let's use a little words, okay? So here's my example. I'm going to start to give you my example. My Father, because you're my good Father in heaven, I get to say this. You are holy. You are far above, far from all my sin and the sins of the world. You shine the brightest. You are the most glorious. Your holiness is a fire unquenched. Your holiness rejects and vomits all of my trespasses. Our sins, our trespasses, our wickedness, our transgressions, and our iniquities keep us infinitely far from you. So before you, we were complete strangers. We are children who sit under your just and necessary wrath. And before you, we are dead. Yet, oh, how good and wonderful that you sent your Son across that infinite separation through the shattered cosmos into our broken lives as Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, to be not only fully God, but also fully man. For it is him who has made the way back to you. Now we get to be with you. Your Son shows us how to pray, and your Spirit prays with us. Apart from your sovereign grace, the bloodshed and broken body of your Son on that cross, and the power of your Spirit, not only did I not know you, but I actively rage war against your holy name. But because Jesus Christ, your Son, my Savior, laid out the path to you, I get to enjoy your presence. Because your Son's life, death, and resurrection, the absolute truth is that we get to fully enjoy you forever and ever. And because your Spirit's awesome power, you claim us to be yours forever. You have always known me, and you will always know me. You will not forget me nor forsake me. You will always love me, and you will always love me. You are so good to me, and you will not stop being good to me. How glorious is your name. Amen. And that is it for today. It was real quick, real sweet. Join us again tomorrow. We about this time, no set time, but join us again tomorrow. We're going to go walk into the gospel meditations. There's a little bit of change in the gospel meditations. It's the same format, just something additional, and I think you'll like it, okay? So join me tomorrow. Stay tuned. We're still being in 1 Timothy. We're going to be talking about deacons. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 8. Talk to you guys later.